are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Monday, May the 4th, and talking drafts today, past, and I guess also present and future as well. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar. The tastes like a candy bar. I had my first one this weekend and also tried my first Built Boost as well. I'm excited to tell you guys about that a little bit later on in the show and also throughout this next period of time as well. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. But thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for spreading the word during the NBA hiatus and staying with us here at the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we are going to give some thoughts on the new NBA G League program for high school stars. Also start off a little feature that we're going to call Mock Draft Monday, but it's kind of loosely about mock drafts and more about some other things that are just kind of going on in the draft world. Obviously, talking about the latest mock drafts and big boards that are out there for the experts. Maybe talk about a new one of those from time to time. Move into some player capsules as well. So the first show of every week from here on out until whenever the draft happens, we'll be doing kind of a mock draft Monday unless there's some breaking news or something that kind of changes the schedule a little bit, but you could kind of pretty much count on the first show of every week being about the draft. So something draft-related, we're going to kind of move into that phase here with the show. And today we're going to go back a little bit and talk about some old drafts, go further in depth. I got an article on the Detroit News website that went into print as well about the Detroit Pistons' last 10 drafts. I graded them, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm also going to talk about my big board, which has not been released publicly yet, but just kind of my thinking about it as time goes on. I'm not yet ready to release 1.0 for the big board yet. I know I'm probably a little bit overdue on that for you guys, but it's really hard to me. There's kind of some head-scratching decisions. My board will be a little bit different than a lot of other ones that you see out there. I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, but we got our most influential Pistons of all time bracket coming out later this week as well. We are down to the final four. Hope you enjoyed listening to me talk with my older brothers, Brian and Scott, on Friday's show. Go back and check that out if you haven't yet. But we are down to the final four. Joe Dumars against Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace against Isaiah Thomas. It doesn't get any more iconic than that. Bad Boys versus the Going to Work era. And we'll see what happens there. I am taping this today on Sunday afternoon, so I have not yet watched the fifth and sixth chapters of The Last Dance documentary with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. I did read Rod Beard's story about it in the Detroit News, talking about how there's a little bit of Isaiah Thomas and the Dream Team mixed in there. So I'll have some reactions and thoughts with that later in the week. But as you listen to this, maybe that's what the rage is. And right now, everyone's talking about. So we'll probably have some thoughts on the Last Dance a little bit later in the week. But like I said, today, talking about mock drafts and mock draft season and kind of related to that, at least in the future, is going to be the combine and the lottery being pushed back. But even more futuristic than that, the new G League program. By the way, bummer for Michigan fans that the five-star commit Isaiah Todd is going to be instead doing the G League Select program. They will be eligible for the draft in 2021. As things stand right now, who knows with the coronavirus how things will be impacted in the future. But the Select program, they're going to be training to play basketball for this next year under Coach Sam Mitchell, the former Minnesota Timberwolves coach and also former Toronto Raptors coach and also former U.S. Virgin Islands national teams coach. By the way, you may not have known about that last one. But Jalen Green will be reportedly earning $500,000. And I have not seen a number for Isaiah Todd, but they will be taking part in the G League Select program. They're going to be sprinkling the rest of the team with some G League and NBA veterans as well, and playing about 10 to 12 games reportedly against G League teams, not counting their season, or not counting for the season of the G League standings when they play those other teams. I don't know, 10 to 12, that seems light to me, right? I'd like to see some more. Maybe the extent of what would be an entire college season if you want to play, you know, 25, 30 games, something like that. There's 28 G League teams out there. I don't know if any more are being added for next year, but I can't see why they wouldn't play every team in the G League once. That seems like a natural fit for a schedule, play about the same amount of games as college teams. Makes sense for me. You could play half of them at home, half of them on the road, kind of get a chance to see some real pro road trips if you have 14 road games, kind of get that experience as well, and then flip the road trips and home games the following year. Give each G League team a nice home gate every other season, getting those young kind of bigger name guys in there, and give some chances for NBA teams to do some scouting of them playing games against professional competition. You don't want to overwhelm them, play a 50-game schedule or anything like that, or put them right into the standings with the G League teams and have them kind of get exposed a couple times or three times over a weekend or something like that. Has not been finalized where they were going to be home-based. I had seen a report that the NBA was exploring possibly having them in Kobe Bryant's gym, the Mamba facility there in Thousand Oaks, I believe, California, more Orange County somewhere. But you would imagine that those games, whenever they do get played by this team, will be some nice exposure on ESPN as well. I'm interested to see how this goes. This is kind of a basketball nerd alert kind of thing, and I want to see really how this works out and how this evolves over time, and how, of course, this impacts the draft status of, first of all, Jalen Green and Isaiah Todd, but other guys going forward as well. Isaiah T, that's going to be a tough one to break the habit of. Whenever I see Isaiah T, of course, we're thinking Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Todd, of course. But kind of talking about some mock drafts a little bit, wanted to give some background for you guys of what the experts are saying right now. A big board that's out there, and we talk a lot about Sam Vecenie of The Athletic here on this show. It's just really one of the guys that I respect the most in the NBA mock draft game. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer is another guy who's out there, and those guys have their stuff updated quite regularly and do a good job with the in-depth stuff there. So I recommend reading those guys. We're going to be citing them quite a bit over time. Sam Vecenie's latest big board from early April. He says he's got another one coming up this week, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit next week as well. But his latest big board, he actually moved LaMelo Ball to number one on his big board, Anthony Edwards to number two, James Wiseman number three, Obi Toppin number four, and Denny Avdija number five. So, you know, pretty typical in some of those regards. Obviously, a big board is a generic way of putting it because he's not talking about team-specific type stuff. In his latest mock draft, however, which came out last week, he kind of put one tankathon spin in there and had the Pistons getting the number one pick in the draft and gave them Anthony Edwards over the field. So I'll be interested to see if that means he has moved Anthony Edwards into the number one spot in his big board, or if there's something specific about the Pistons that makes him think that they should be taking Anthony Edwards, whether it's the fact that they need to be taking a bigger swing. I don't know. I'm kind of putting words into his mouth at this point. I'll be interested to see if he has changed back to Anthony Edwards being the number one on his big board, or maybe there's something that he's heard about the Pistons in particular, whether that be something positive about Anthony Edwards or negative about LaMelo Ball. Because on the surface, you would think that if you think the Pistons are getting the first pick and LaMelo Ball is number one on your big board, you're looking at the roster and you're saying this team needs a point guard, LaMelo Ball would make a lot of sense for them. And Anthony Edwards, contrary to that, doesn't make as much sense to them because obviously the Pistons not all set at two or anything like that. But certainly with Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown and Svi Mykhailiuk, that's probably the position of least need for the Pistons. And I know there's gray area between what a two is and what a three is and all that. But in terms of smaller type of wings, which is kind of how I classify twos, the Pistons seem to be most set there in a future type of look. So interesting there. Kevin O'Connor, overall big board for him of The Ringer. Killian Hayes, LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton, and Onyeka Okongwu. An interesting name they'll be talking about quite a bit here on this show. Laz Jackson, one of our favorites on Detroit Bad Boys and also of several podcasts out there, he did a Pistons-centric big board on DetroitBadBoys.com. He had Killian Hayes, number one, Anthony Edwards, number two, LaMelo Ball, number three, Devin Vassell of Florida State, number four, and Tyrese Maxey of Kentucky, number five. I like where Laz's head is at right there. But up next, we're going to go back into time, and we're going to look back at 10 years of Pistons drafts. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, these guys have made an investment in the Locked On Network, and our listeners, I hope you guys make a little bit of a smaller and better investment into them, and that is Built Bars. Built Bars are very tasty. This is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I had the double chocolate mousse today, the very first one that I've tried. I also tried the Built Boost drink supplement, had the black cherry lemonade there for a little bit of an afternoon pick-me-up that I needed. There are 16 amazing flavors of Built Bars, chocolate nut flavors, also some nut-free ones as well. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. And not only the taste, which is probably the best part, if I'm being honest, the second best part is that these are actually healthy. I'm trying to cut the carbs. I'm trying to cut the sugar. For instance, the peanut butter brownie, which, I mean, imagine how good that is. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about trying that one. So I'm licking my lips already. 3 grams of sugar and then entire one. Mint brownie, 4 grams of sugar. I did a little keto. I'm trying to cut the carbs as low as possible. I'm off the keto now during the quarantine. But low sugar, low carbs is right up my wheelhouse right now. And I've been looking for desserts. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to find the desserts that fit into that low-carb lifestyle. And this is a perfect kind of thing if you've got a little bit of a sweet tooth, but also a perfect way to start your day in a healthy way. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Go to BuiltBar.com. Again, that's B-U-I-L-T, bar, B-A-R.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I'm going to extrapolate some thoughts from the past and present and where that kind of throws my head at with the future when breaking down what my big board might look like for this year's draft as it pertains to the Detroit Pistons. But we did a little thought experiment with the Detroit News and at DetNews.com, assigning me to grade the last 10 Pistons drafts. And if you've been following the Pistons these last 10 years, which if you are a listener of the Locked On Pistons podcast, I'm assuming you do and have remembered how ugly it is. This has been a horrific 10 years of basketball for the Pistons in all phases. So being that the draft is the best way and most efficient way to turn your fortunes around as a franchise and build your team, you would obviously be inclined to believe that all these drafts are going to be horrible. And they are bad. Don't get me wrong. But I will point out that I would say the drafts have been better than the teams. Now, again, still bad. In those 10 years, I gave out 4 D's, 2 C's, 1 B, and 3 A's. Now, obviously, those 3 A's kind of stand out. How could you be watching this team over the past 10 years and find 3 different drafts where you had A's? Well, turns out 2 of those were very unimpactful A's, and that the best grade that they got was Spencer Dinwiddie from, I believe, 2014. An A-plus in the Spencer Dinwiddie draft because they took him in the second round. He turned into be a very quality NBA player. But this is the Noah Vonleh draft where the Pistons didn't have a first-round pick from the Ben Gordon deal with Charlotte. So to score on a second-round pick is a great thing. Obviously, you'd rather do it than not score. But it's fairly inconsequential, especially given what happened with Spencer Dinwiddie and that his best days and really only relevant NBA days came with the Brooklyn Nets, so the fact that they drafted a very good player didn't really end up benefiting the franchise all that much. Another one of the A's that I gave out, and maybe this was being a little bit generous in retrospect, maybe this is more of a B-plus move, but kind of splitting hairs at that point, and that's the 2018 draft, 2 seasons ago, Ed Stefanski's first draft with the Pistons. A little bit of a pattern there in that Stan Van Gundy, A-plus for his first draft with only having a second-round pick. And then Ed Stefanski comes in with only 1 second-round pick coming into the draft. He also gets an A-minus as he ended up, first of all, trading back into the second round. So he ended up getting 2 second-round picks, giving up 2 future seconds for the right to acquire Khyri Thomas at 38. And then Bruce Brown at 42. Khyri Thomas have obviously not worked out. we don't really do much in terms of penalizing bad second-round picks. They're second-round picks. It's not a huge deal to miss out on. You're going to miss out on more than you hit, that's for sure. But coming away with Bruce Brown at 42 and recognizing the fact that these were a chance to get first-round talents in the middle of the second round was a pretty nice maneuver by Ed Stefanski, and to come away with a Bruce Brown type of player. And he's not an all-star, but he's a rotation guy. And I might argue that he has the ability to move into impact player status as far as like fringe starter, that type of player. And really kind of a guy who, with his good defense, and I know it's overblown and it's a little bit of an old bit here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, but that will continue this offseason, don't get me wrong. But the fact that he's got the DNA of the Detroit Pistons in Bruce Brown is something that's a positive, and something that, even with Kyrie Thomas, the fact that he has Pistons DNA as well is something that's encouraging for Detroit fans going forward. And even last year, B+, and obviously this is the type of grade that will change much here in these next few years, of the Greg Monroe draft of 2010. That's not going to be trading. That's going to be changing at all. That's stuck at that C-. I don't see the Brandon Knight draft from the following year changing much from its D status as well. But obviously the Sekou Doumbouya draft with Davidas Servetus and Jordan Bone being thrown in there as well. At a B+, you could see that moving up to an A- or even A if Sekou reaches his ceiling. And you could certainly see Sekou's career not turning out to much over these next several years. We don't know at this point. And possibly having that draft grade move down some over the years. But I don't anticipate that moving that much, just because there wasn't a lot left on the board. This was a notoriously bad draft, and there wasn't that much to be gained from the possible other picks out there. So this was a draft where I encouraged the Pistons to take a swing on one of those high upside, possibly low floor guys, and they did that with Sekou. They followed my instructions to the T. So where does that lead us going into next year, or this year, I should say, with a team that has a high draft pick somewhere, you know, around the number 5 spot, could be as high as number 1, obviously, could fall down to as low as number 9. I believe as low as number 8. So we're going to be looking at all those spots when we do big boards. You got to go all the way down to number 8 for now until the lottery happens. Is this a situation where, because the Pistons are where they are with a low talent base right now, do they need to just take a big swing? Go one of those high upside type of players. Obviously, Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball, I believe, kind of fall into that category of not super high upside, but that's what they are, is kind of boom or bust type of players where there is a pretty low ceiling involved in those guys. Because the Pistons are where they are, do they need to pick that swing? That's one consideration to take into it. And I have kind of a differing opinion on that with that draft. And also, something that I, looking at these drafts, looking at the players that Ed Stefanski has brought in here, I do have a little bit of a positive outlook on the types of players that Ed Stefanski is bringing into the Pistons program, whether that be the Derrick Roses and Christian Woods, the guys that have been kind of, thrown to the trash in some ways in NBA circles. I like that part of it, the guys that have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Obviously, the defensive ability of even a guy like Thon Maker, who was acquired by this front office. Asfi Mikhailiuk is a guy who has got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as a second-round pick and has an NBA skill as well. But most notably, the Bruce Browns of the world, and also Sekou, who is someone who is a talent upside move and also athleticism that could turn into being an impact player on the defensive end as well. So, again, we're tying kind of it all together with this offseason. But during this quarantine, we've been watching a lot of the Bad Boys and watching and talking a lot about the going-to-work era as well. And it makes you think about the team identity. What kind of team do we want to be building here in Detroit with the lineage of the Detroit Pistons? I think that's something that needs to be taken into consideration when looking at these drafts. So, boom or bust potential versus maybe a steady role-playing type of NBA player. And thinking about team identity and what kind of positions of need, obviously, is something that should be at least a little bit of a consideration with some of these guys. So those are some of the variables that I've been thinking about, some of the wrinkles that I want to throw out there when I'm talking about big boards and what the Pistons should do with this draft pick. And I just think that those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about here going forward. And how that translates to this year's draft is what we're going to be talking about next. And that's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, guys, so here's where I'm at with the big board for the draft for the Pistons right now, and I woke up really early this morning for some reason, went to sleep early on Saturday night, got up early on Sunday morning. Quarantine's been kicking my butt just like all you guys, but I had planned on releasing my big board this morning on Monday's podcast for you guys, but I can't get there quite yet. Right now, I've got it into three tiers, and these are not necessarily the ordered tiers, but there's kind of three categories of players. I'm seeing three guys that have upside to be very good players, possibly even difference makers in the NBA. Obviously, Killian Hayes, LaMelo Ball, and Anthony Edwards are that group. I've also got three guys that I know can help the Pistons and have the right DNA for this team. That's Okongwu, Vassell, and Maxey. And then I've got a bunch of leftovers, guys that I don't love, any of these guys, but you might not be screwed if you get them. So that's like Okoro, you know, fitting the culture, but I've got real questions about his offense. Avdija, he's the guy who interests me most out of this group. Haliburton, can't quite put my finger on him right now. I kind of go back and forth on him. But I think there's a lot of good point guards in the league. And I think that kind of hurts my perception of the point guards. And I know the Pistons need one, and eventually you're going to have some sort of solid point guard on this team, but you do have Derrick Rose coming up this year. I know that's not a long-term solution, but, you know, I just kind of maybe point guard doesn't have to be a high draft pick for this team, especially if no one's jumping off the page at you. Obi Toppin, don't love him, but I could see him fitting in 7-9 somewhere there. James Wiseman, he's probably not going to make my top nine, but since some people think he's the best player in the draft, I'm going to give him another look this week. So kind of a mea culpa here. I apologize. I could definitely see if you have a train of thought, and again, I had this train of thought with Sekou last year, that take that group of upside guys, especially Ball and Edwards, and say, hey, the Pistons suck. Take one of these guys. Maybe they could turn out to be good players. Killian Hayes is a little bit different than those guys in that I think he has the potential to be a very good player, but there's a little bit of a floor there. Low floor-wise with the possible lack of athleticism. And again, just another point guard that I'm watching tape of that doesn't jump off the screen at me. And I'm looking around the league and I'm just seeing there's point guards everywhere. There's guys all over the league. So, maybe, you know, Fred VanVleet's out there in free agency. I don't endorse that move, but, like, will there be Fred VanVleet's? Will there be these guys that will now turn into veterans and backup point guards down the road? You know, Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith. I know I'm not talking about bringing those guys back to this team, but, like, those are two guys that will be out there, like, every free agency market. Like, those guys are kind of there. And if point guards that we're looking at don't quite fit the Pistons culture, I'm kind of pushing against taking those guys right now. That's kind of where I'm at. And, again, I'm going to take another week. I'm kind of loosely committing to giving you guys my big nine big board next week, but that's just kind of where I'm at right now. So if I'm not seeing star potential with these point guards and really with any of these guys, Hayes, Ball, Edwards, then that's not really the type of upside pick that I'm talking about. I would almost rather just have guys that I know can play and have building blocks, and maybe the appropriate upside picks will be out there next year because we know this team is going to be drafting highly again right now. So again, I think you're sensing my frustration, so I need to dive in a little bit deeper, make those tough decisions for next week. Not ready to put it in writing quite yet, but that's where I'm leaning. And kind of the most important takeaways from this right now is I don't know. I don't know if the Pistons will be able to cultivate a chucker or a possible selfish player, and Edwards and Ball are kind of in that category. So I almost feel better taking a guy I know will be an NBA player. And again, seems a little counterintuitive in a bad draft, but that's where I'm at. Maybe use this as a little bit more of a culture building offseason, culture building pick. And really, most important takeaway that I'm taking from this is that my guys that I like, Okongwu, Vassell, and Maxey, those are guys you can get at 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7. So maybe the draft lottery isn't as important for the Pistons this year, in that you can get guys in that second tier. And if you do strike gold, obviously you'd rather win the lottery than not win the lottery. Maybe there's some team that really likes LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, or Killian Hayes, and you could maybe trade down. I don't know that, you know, there's not a lot of history of trading down and getting things of value in bad drafts, but maybe you could, you know, include that in with something else. Maybe the Golden State Warriors don't get a lottery pick and really like one of those guys to be part of their future. Maybe you package with Derrick Rose. You know me. You know I'm always willing to trade Derrick Rose. So that's just kind of some thoughts I had. I don't. It seems strange because the Pistons are in this position where maybe they possibly mathematically can win the lottery, and there's a decent shot of it happening. And this is kind of the year where I'm sitting here like, you know, being 4, 5, or 6 doesn't really bother me that much. Going even to 7, you could still maybe still get a Devin Vassell at 7 and be pretty okay with that. So does that mean that those three guys will be at the top of my big board? Am I willing to make that leap and put that into writing? That's kind of the question I'm dealing with right now. So welcome into my brain. Welcome into my head. It's a scary place to be sometimes, but that's where my thinking is. Right now, as we approach big board season here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. But I'm your host, Matt Shook, and that wraps up this edition. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.